So I'd like to continue exploring it because equanimity is a profound quality. In some ways, it's what the whole of the practice is aiming for. And so really, in the context of this retreat, we've just been touching into it. But I suggested that we frame this whole last full day of the retreat as a day of equanimity by consciously orienting to this capacity of the heart-mind to stay steady and present and non-reactive through all of the ups and downs of experience, whether those experiences are pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And just to be clear, this equanimity, this non-reactivity is not non-responsiveness. So it's not about squashing our natural recognition of the feeling tones or the beginnings of the liking and disliking. Instead, we're making space for whatever the experience is without suppressing it or feeding any reactivity to it. So it can be a delicate balance at times. But in fact, all of us here have been cultivating quite some degree of equanimity already, whether you recognized it or not, just through the development of sati and samadhi, mindfulness and stability of mind. Because equanimity is built in to the non-reactive, non-judgmental aspect of mindfulness. And then with samadhi, when the mind is undistracted, unscattered, unified, we get a taste of that steadiness and ease and balance of equanimity. So we all already have been cultivating it, and this ability to recognize equanimity or any of the other skillful states is what helps them to strengthen and to deepen. So in terms of our insight practice, equanimity arises naturally from the development of the previous 6 of the 7 factors of awakening. Mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy, tranquility, concentration or samadhi, and equanimity. And as you know, these are the 7 very beneficial qualities of mind that support the arising of deep transformative insight. So equanimity arises in our insight practice, and as I said this morning, it's also a quality that we can consciously cultivate through our Brahmavihara practice. And that's what I'd like to focus on this session. So traditionally, we do this similar to the other Brahmaviharas, by silently reciting phrases that evoke the quality of balance. And these phrases begin by opening to and accepting the truth of how things are. So as I mentioned a few of those phrases this morning, including my favorite from Kamala Masters, may I accept and open to how it is right now, because this is how it is right now. So that's how we approach equanimity generally, by remembering the truth of impermanence. We can also orient this equanimity in relation to other people. And here, the phrases have a slightly different emphasis. So, for example, I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. That's from Sharon Salzberg. And in that example, Sharon is pointing to the relationship between equanimity and the understanding of karma. The understanding that our own and others' happiness or unhappiness is the result of our intentional actions, rather than a kind of wishful thinking that people or situations be different. So as a very simple definition, karma describes the natural law that whatever actions we do intentionally will have either harmful or unharmful results, depending on the mind states that those actions were rooted in. So actions done from unwholesome mind states will have harmful results. And actions motivated by wholesome mind states will have beneficial results. And just understanding this as a natural law can help us not get so personally involved or caught up in situations that we can't really control, which in itself leads to greater equanimity and peace of mind. So it's this aspect of equanimity practice that I'd like to focus on now, exploring it as a support for our relationship with other people.
Jill, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it seemed important, and I just wasn't quite following the connection between equanimity and consequential action. I just didn't quite get it.
So the phrases that we use for traditional equanimity practice come from an understanding of karma. So the example I use, I wish you happiness but cannot make your choices for you. That happiness comes from our actions.
I'm going to give
you some other phrases in a moment, but I just wanted to give you the karma context, hopefully as you practice it will make sense. So this understanding of the law of karma helps us to not get so caught up in situations, and I want to explore that in relationship to people who tend to challenge our equanimity in some ways. So when we do this guided meditation, we're going to be moving to a new category of person, the so-called difficult person. Mm-hmm. So remembering that in the traditional Visuddhimagga instructions, the training is gradual, and we start with wherever the Brahma-Vihara quality comes most naturally. And that's why so far we've mostly been working with the so-called easy beings, our benefactors, our good friends, and we touched in just a little to ourselves. So now I'd like to raise the bar a bit and just invite us to work with the category of the difficult person, or more accurately, someone that we're currently having some kind of difficulty with, because we don't want to solidify them as the eternally difficult person. But each time to have to say the person that we're sometimes currently having some difficulties with would be a bit of a mouthful. So I will use that term, difficult person, but just keep in mind that this hopefully is a fluid categorization and things might change. The difficult person might move to the good friend category, or sometimes the good friend moves to the difficult category. So none of these categories are fixed. So just a few general suggestions for exploring this practice in relation to difficult people. Because by definition, the difficult person is difficult. They're in that category because there have been some challenges with them, some unpleasant experiences, unpleasant interactions. So again, the suggestion is to start with an easy difficult person, if that's not too much of a contradiction. And then we can gradually work up to the person who's been most intensely problematic for us. And depending on the process, on the circumstances, this process could take years. So by touching it into it now, not to have the expectation that having spent 20 minutes doing equanimity, that's it. We're not trying to force or manufacture our responses or blast through our defenses, or deny any harm that may have been done to us. So we really want to encourage approaching this category gently. And if at any time it feels forced or painful, then let it go, or switch to self-compassion for a while. And again, when it comes to this category of difficult person, it can be helpful to remember the old slogan that hurt people. So can we find the truth of that in relation to this difficult person? To see if we can drop below the level of their irritating personality habits and see if we can connect with what their underlying motivation might be. And it's possible or even likely that there's some kind of suffering, and their difficult behavior is a reflection of that. So compassion might also need to infuse this if we do start to touch into pain. The second powerful support is having a sense of humor, because this can help reduce the tendency to take things personally and to see how universal these challenges are. So I usually like to check at this point, does anybody not have a difficult person that they could work with in this next session? Great. So you've all got someone in mind that you would like to explore this with. Okay. So one of the areas of our lives where we often do get caught is in relation to the people who are closest to us. And we can have very definite agendas for our partners, our family members, our close friends, how they should be, who they should be, how their lives should unfold. And often we only want them to be happy. But even the Buddha couldn't control other people's lives for them. So who do we think we are to think that we can make other people happy? Now, of course, it's natural to want people we're close to be happy. But if that wish hardens into an expectation of some kind, then it usually causes ourselves and the other person quite a lot of suffering. So with this next meditation, we're going to be looking at equanimity in relation to someone you care about, but you recognize there's some desire to control, some stickiness, some agenda, wish for things to be different. And the phrases we'll use are, I care about you, but I cannot live your life for you. Your happiness or unhappiness depends upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. So as you hear those phrases, you might just see if someone naturally comes to mind. But again, not the most intensely problematic person. So using that scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is the person you have the most difficulty with, try to choose a 5 or less. And if you start the meditation with someone and you find that it is getting too difficult, then feel free to move to a less difficult person. Or again, to orient to self-compassion if it's getting too challenging. Okay, let's give that a try.